Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
It's time for a sales manager spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
Seller diehards, let's welcome the great Nick Stepanovich, a regional sales manager for ADP based out of Cleveland, and they put a slash Akron, but only probably because LeBron came from Akron and they want to make sure they still acknowledge it. It's also the home of the Football Hall of Fame that no one goes to. So he's from the Cleveland-Akron area of Ohio. Nick has been recognized by his peers as an early adopter and standout example of using social media to establish himself as a thought leader and develop relationships that lead to sales. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that introduction. That's great.
The cool thing about that is that we found you on social media.
Wonderful. It's working.
It's totally working. I love it. We found you on LinkedIn. You're connected to Jeffrey, and we thought you were a standout sales manager. I know you manage a team of eight, so we're glad to have you here.
Yeah, what are you connecting with me for, Nick? So I want to ask one question. We have a bunch of questions that we want to ask, but I want to go off script for just a second. I want to ask you, what is the problem with salespeople today in general?
Ooh, I would say relevance is a problem. People, you know, there's a very strong sales focus around, I know this is good for you, or you look like other companies that I've helped. I know this is good for you. And there's not enough what's in it for me from a client perspective. There's not enough leading with insight. There's not enough solving problems. I think there's a lot of people pushing really, really great solutions that are looking for a problem as opposed to fixing people's problems.
Well, I have some additional information that I want to share with our diehards. You were a wrestler at Ohio State. Excuse me, the Ohio State University.
Yes.
Okay. And I am a proponent of salespeople who were athletes. And the reason I'm a proponent of it is because they're typically in shape, physically and mentally. They have a high desire to win. They're very competitive. They play by the rules, and they're coachable.
And disciplined.
Yeah, totally disciplined. So you already have those disciplines coming into the game. You're the leader. Are you looking for other athletes to be on your team, or what do you look for?
I do. I would love to have other athletes on the team. I have several associates who have played high-level high school or college sports. Similarly, we have people who have former military backgrounds, wired very similarly as far as taking direction, discipline, wanting to win.
I agree with that.
Yeah. It's really important for me. You know, I think every sales position has some sort of ante to play, right? Like, you didn't get past the recruiting process and get to me if you didn't have basic skills that we need. But now that you're in the game, grit and coachability and cultural fit is really, really important. And I find that with athletes especially, and people like military, or even if you were high level in music, if you excelled in life at something outside of selling, those intangibles transfer so well, and I love that in an applicant.
Yeah, that's pretty important. And how do you train your guys right now?
I would say it's a combination. I'm very lucky. I work for a very large organization. We have a tremendous amount of tools. So we have every tool you could imagine as far as virtual tools, live tools. But me personally, I like to be with my people and show them what good looks like. And once I see them do it, then ask them to show somebody else. And it's, again, not to go back to sports this whole time, but when I was a kid, my dad would tell me, you know, I'm going to show you, you're going to do it, and then you're going to teach somebody. And if I can show an associate what good looks like and then watch them do it well and then give them autonomy and then put them in a position to teach somebody else, they've really kind of traversed that arc of mastering a skill.
Yeah,
that's
obviously
the winning formula.
Yeah, if
I
you
love
can
that.
Teach it, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's an old expression that says, those who can't teach. And I think that's the biggest bullshit expression on the planet. I think it should be those who can teach.
Yeah, no one wants to learn from the person who couldn't do it. Why would I trust them to teach me if exactly. they couldn't do it themselves? Well,
but what happens is they make bad lawyers judges.
Oh.
I know. But
I was fortunate enough to go through several situational leadership training programs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped a lot as far as aligning how I speak with people based on where they are to move them through that being able to like show, do, teach. So you don't over talk or under talk to people. So that was very helpful for me as well.
Did you do it through the Blanchard Organization or through the Center for Leadership Studies?
Actually, I did it being an associate of ADP who works with Blanchard.
Got it.
And so did you start off at ADP as a manager or did you start off as a salesperson? Tell us your story.
Sure. So funny story, you know, I was
wait a minute.
Sort of an
funny haha or funny. What kind of funny?
Funny, interesting.
I got it. Let's
not
hear it.
Funny
Let's
clown.
Hear it.
All right, cool.
So I was in operational based roles, and one of the things that I'll probably get a chance to talk about later is how important a support network is. You know, when I was an athlete without a support network, I couldn't succeed. As a sales professional, I need a support network. And my wife kept telling me, you would be great at sales. And I finally took her up on that advice and took a sales position and moved up into management and then managed managers. So vice president, if you will. So when I came over to ADP, I moved up market into larger organizations, a more complex sale, and started back carrying a bag. Sold, proved that I could do the job, established a professional brand, went through all the leadership development opportunities, and then had an opportunity to move into a leadership role here. And I've really, really enjoyed it.
And do you take your bag experience with you that, you know, you carried the bag, you got the ink on the contract, and now it's a matter of not just leading your people, but running right alongside of them and going to appointments with them, correct?
100%. There's a part of me that's very sales manager, right? Managing metrics, making sure the administration gets done. And there's another bigger part that is very much sales leader. It's, let's get in the car. Let's go on the appointment together. Let me run the call or jump in and help or just nod in the right places and make you look smart in front of the buyer. It's right there alongside.
Do you let your sales guy fail?
We do. It's the hardest thing I do. Watching them fall a little bit in the middle of a call to take advantage of that teachable moment, it's difficult. But if I don't let them fall, I'm going to have to catch them for the rest
Every
of their
time.
Career. So we get
yeah.
that out of the way.
Yeah.
That's so hard. I've been there. What do you find that your top reps do differently than your other reps?
I find that they are extremely disciplined. They're very hard on themselves in that they hold themselves very accountable. They are accountable to themselves beyond what I hold them accountable to. So when we sit down and we talk about performance, we have one-on-ones, coaching, they're already on top of their numbers. They know what they're doing. They know where they need to go. And I am there to guide. Those are the ones they really own their franchise, if you will. We give them a turf. We give them an opportunity. And they approach it like it's their own business. And they own that. And that's what really sets them apart.
At ADP, cool. everyone knows that you're a payroll company and a PEO. So you rely on some of your customers as leads, correct?
For sure, yes.
And how many of your guys are getting their own leads?
All of them.
And how many of your top guys get a lot of their own leads?
All of them. Yeah.
And I think that the one thing that there's no gravy train in sales. Yeah, you actually make your own gravy. You take this beef stock and you put flour in it and you make your own gravy. And,
yep.
And if you're not any good at it, the gravy becomes thick or you got to throw it away or whatever. You got to make gravy before you can make money.
We use the phrase on our team, like within our culture, that you have to control your destiny, that it's great when clients want to buy more. It's great when your internal partners or external channel partners bring you opportunity. But at the end of the day, you have to control your own destiny and get out there and do it. And to the previous question, those that own that destiny are consistently winning.
And are they doing things like pounding the phone, or are they being strategic about it through social media?
To say we don't pound the phone would be lying. We do still crank out phone calls, but we do a little bit of everything. We try to pull every lever. So we want to make sure that you have a social media presence. It reflects the organization's brand, your professional brand. We want to be out there on the real-time social media, finding those big trigger events, the turnover in an organization, the acquisitions, the mergers. We want to be plugged in to the business data, because by the time it's printed somewhere and we read it, it's old news.
Yeah. Right.
So we want information. We're reaching out through networks, building relationships through LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook even. But then we're also sending snail mail, because that stands out nowadays. Mm-hmm. Email, we pick up the phone, we get out there and we talk to what we call centers of influence. So we're talking to the brokers, bankers, CPAs that the business owners trust, building that value prop across all organizations. So I would say that we try to pull all levers, and sometimes some work better than others. But if we don't do all of them, we're missing opportunity.
Would you rather have 100 lawyers, 100 bankers, or 100 accountants as a lead resource?
I would take the accountants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would, too.
I would, too, in your industry.
They know the numbers.
Yeah.
They know the numbers.
They lie to the banker about the numbers.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have this great method of show, do, teach. You have them build, you have your people build these amazing brands, personal brands, in addition to the company brand, online and reaching out to tons of people, building relationships. You're investing a lot of time in your people. How do you retain them? What do you do to keep them energized and wanting to stay there rather than making that move to get to the next big peak?
Sure. I think it's really important. I mean, as simple as this sounds, like, I don't mean to present you with a mousetrap of simplicity, but you have to know your people, what's important to them. I know which associates want to put an addition on their house, which want to buy a car, which ones want to have a child. I know what's intrinsic and important and emotional and visceral for them. So I can connect the job to them achieving their personal goals. That's really important, because if it's just about driving the corporate initiative nonstop and it's not personal, that they could very easily go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so true.
Well, there's one thing I want to talk about. We're toward the end of our interview, and I'm driven by emotion, not logic.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all are.
Well, not we all, but most people are. But Nick is an athlete, and not was an athlete, is an athlete. You can tell he's in shape. Mm-hmm. I can't stand people like him. But do you run in the morning, Nick? Only about 3 or 4 miles. That pisses me off, by the way. But the bottom line is this. You were faced with many times in your career where you weren't winning, but you wanted to win. And then you won because your heart was bigger than the other guy's heart. Maybe your skill level was not the same skill level. You might have been a little lower than that guy, but you won because you had heart. Can you teach that, or you just have to have it?
I think you can hone it. I don't know if you can teach it from scratch, but you can. I think you can definitely, in the right environment, hone that skill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can. I just made you recall half of your athletic career, correct?
Oh, I was having crazy flashbacks of wins and losses in front of your mom and your friends and as you were talking.
And slamming shit up against the wall or crying or cheering like crazy.
Yep.
I mean, that's you know, those are the emotion of winning and the emotion of losing are tied. They're tied for first place.
Mm-hmm.
They are. And I remember my losses in life, in sports and in business, more in more detail and in more color than I do my wins.
Well, obviously, mm-hmm. and you learn the lessons from them, too. That's what makes you a winner right now. But for those of you diehards out there that are listening, you may have never even thought about how big of a role your heart plays in your ability to win. And you might want to go to the you got to have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start.
Maybe you could sing it, Jeffrey.
No, I'm not singing it. I think it's from Guys and Dolls, though.
I think it is, too.
You got to have hope. Anyway, mustn't sit around and hope. The challenge that you have is, A, you're successful, and B, you have to transfer that success to other people. And the transference of that is not a logical transfer. It's an emotional transfer. It's not from a playbook. Like, you got the playbook, you learn the moves in wrestling, you learn how to, you know, get 2 points and, you know, spin out of the headlock, whatever. But that's not what got you out of the headlock. What got you out of the headlock was desire and heart.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree more. Execution, man. It comes down to just believing and just being all in. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So diehards out there, there's an unspoken discipline that you're not going to read in a sales book, of course, unless you read the little gold book of Yes Attitude, but that's a whole other situation. But what I want you to look at is, how is your heart? Where is your heart in your quest for victory? Or are you just trying to rely on your proposal and calling somebody back and go, did you get the proposal? Do you have any questions?
I'm just following up.
Yeah, I'm just following up to piss you off. And I was wondering if I could call you Thursday and piss you off even more. You get what I mean?
Oh, it's funny. We actually had a team meeting the other day, and we were talking about those just checking in emails and how they just get deleted.
Yep, of course. And then the salesperson wonders why they are not getting return email or return call.
Right. And, you know, your job is not to send people emails about a proposal, but rather send people emails about how to retain their best people.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So for you diehards, we want to thank you. Nick has been an absolutely great guest. Zach, who you probably connected with to get here anyway, will give you one follow-up call and a chance to play with us if you want to play a little deeper. but I think that there's an assessment, and I don't know whether you've taken the assessment or not from the Gittimer Learning Academy, but I would challenge you to take it and see how you assess yourself.
And have all your people take it.
Well, you got to pay for that, Jen. I don't want to.
Yes.
Yeah. No. So cough it up, Nick, you cheap bastard.
No.
And, I hope you find another basketball player that can help you out like LeBron did. He brought the city of Cleveland back to standard attention.
Cleveland has good food now.
I'm a big fan. Listen, I'm a fan of Cleveland, so don't, you know, you can't knock it that bad. And we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We did. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally. It's a wonderful, wonderful place.
Yeah.
I'll have to give you the insider's tour next time you're in Cleveland, the better Cleveland that nobody sees.
All right, cool. We'll hit you up.
We're all in.
Hey, thank you for being on our show. This was excellent.
And for you diehards out there, make sure that you take the lessons from Nick Stepanovich today. They were absolutely excellent ones, and we will look forward to talking to Nick again sometime in the near future. Thank you, Nick.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager, who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.